Hey, thanks for calling the Beards and Sundries Market. You've reached Jay. Leave a message after the tone.
Hey guys, it's Shanae. So I'm listening to the podcast. I always listen on Thursdays anyway. Jay was talking about how he never obsesses with famous people, like he just doesn't understand. If Jay can remember the time that it was like 129 degrees in Oklahoma City, and he found out Michael Bublé was in town, but he found out that he was at the splash pad with his kids, and he sprinted the Continental Building to the little water park like four blocks away in the dead of summer, sweating to death, nearly killing himself to try to catch a glimpse of Michael Bublé. So he's lying. You guys have a good day. Bye.
You've reached the Beards and Sundries podcast, where things get gay and hilarious. You've made it past seasons 1, 2, and 3. Now you've reached season 4, the hottest season yet. This season's gonna be the tits. Now sit down, strap on, in, and get ready to laugh your asses off with your three bearded hosts, because they've been waiting all week to get you hot for this show. Now, welcome your hosts, Jay, Anthony, and Joe.
And welcome back.
Hi.
Well, hello.
Welcome back to season 4, episode 6 of Beards and Sundries.
There's the accent.
The season 4.
Sorry, I could do it again. Welcome back to season 4, episode 6 of Beards and Sundries.
Oi.
Bruv.
That's right, guys. It's time for another lunch break here at Beards and Sundries, the shop where three gay men with beards do inventory on a new sundry in every episode.
My name is Jay, and I'm such a little angel.
You are not little.
Oh! Hey, Jay, you're a fat fuck. You want to talk about food? I still
you
laugh
started
well.
That one. I'm Anthony, and if there's any justice in this world at all, little bits of Reagan are still trickling down the River Styx.
Ew. And I'm Joe, and if the gays really do go to hell, then I certainly have a waterfront condo on a lake of fire and brimstone waiting for me. So that means that today's sundry item is, where do famous people end up? Beardos, a few figures have been in the news lately, and it got us thinking, where do they all end up after they bite the big one? Today, we're going to try and figure that out together, have a few laughs along the way, and I'll remind you all that this is all in good fun, just jokes, so no one freak out. You'll get to enjoy us airing our grievances about those less famous individuals that we encounter day in and day out. And then for game time today, Anthony has another fun homebrewed concoction for us. But before we get too far into it, how about this week's voicemail?
And she's absolutely right. I did used to obsess over Michael Bublé back in the day. And I saw on Instagram or Facebook that somebody had spotted him in the splash pad over by the arena. And I darted out of my office, sprinted across the street in cowboy boots to boot. And made it over to the splash pad to see nothing was going on. And so I was like, what a crock of shit. Well, then I started scrolling through the comments as I was walking back, and it had been like an hour prior to that. And I think that might have been my turning point of going, you shouldn't obsess over people, because this is what
that
happens.
Was it.
And then ever since then, I've just slowly been never obsessing over people.
I love it, because I kind of get it, because Michael Bublé is hot, and that voice. I mean, like, every time I just hear him go, birds flying high, and I'm just like,
oh, God, I just came.
So I get it.
Jay, you want to tell the Beardos about your music video?
Oh my god. You weren't supposed to bring that up.
I mean, we're going to dive into Obsession. Might as well.
We may or may not link it below.
Can I just say no?
You can say no if you want to say no.
Yeah, Anthony, you weren't really supposed to bring that up because it's a shame of my past that I don't discuss. But
then, you know what?
Now that it's out there.
It's a mystery now.
Now that it's out there.
They'll always wonder. They'll ask more questions.
It happened, and if you can find it, I'm very proud of you.
I have it screen recorded on my phone.
Excellent.
I think I have it on my, I think I have like a terabyte hard drive that it's stashed on. Because it's one of those things where I'm like, ah, you did this. You had creativity. But also, no.
What else do you have on that hard drive, Jay?
Porn.
Okay, good.
Old stuff that now if you pull it up and watch it, you're just like, oh my god, they used to watch this stuff back in the day.
Girth Brooks.
Matt Rush
is 100% in there. I think there's also music, but besides that.
Anyways, thank you, Shanae, for bringing that up so that we can also bring up Jay's music video.
I don't even know if she knows about that.
Well, now she does.
It's the show of exposing all of Jay's secrets.
Thank God.
Thank you very much. What's her tits?
Ooh.
She doesn't have that title just yet.
Yeah, but Joe's making this whole story up, so maybe Catherine will like literally just go over and deck her one day so they can start fighting.
It'll be like the Peter and like the chicken like fights from Family Guy. Yep.
She's going to Milwaukee right over there and just deck her in the face.
Oh, boo. That's now that she made that horrible joke, Jesus.
Yeah, move on.
Joe, do you think I can find sundries in the second level of Dante's Inferno? The lust level?
Ooh, definitely. That's aisle five. But if you guys are new to the show, and you're wondering just what
the... what the hell a sundry is.
Now, if you're new to the show and you're wondering what the hell a sundry is...
What the hell a sundry is?
The term comes from an old English word meaning odds and ends. Now, today it's used mainly in retail as a way to group together items that otherwise wouldn't typically have a group of their own. So, as three hellacious gay men with beards, we are using the term to group together the wide range of topics that we cover.
I got new glasses.
I did not.
And I wanted to show them off. And I meant to be a lot faster on that, but Beardos, I don't know if you've ever had TMJ disorder. But I spent all last night on my couch watching Yellow Jackets and taking pain pills.
Porn.
No, I couldn't. I was in too much pain to think of porn.
Really? I feel like
pain, not porn.
Way to distract you.
You would think, but like with, you know, like dental pain, it's like that, it's but worse because it's like that plus earache plus jaw pain plus like pressure behind my left eye.
It's a real mouthful.
Yeah, sounds awful.
I didn't even get it from sucking dick. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, that's lockjaw usually is what happens from that.
I remember whenever I had a tooth, my very first tooth ever that I needed like a root canal on. Oh, worst pain ever.
I haven't had this kind of dental pain in a hot fucking minute.
I knew a girl in college who got a bout of lockjaw from sucking too much dick. Honestly, that's how she got lockjaw, but she told her parents that it was from practicing her clarinet too much.
Praise. Well, good for her.
I was like, different kind of wood, but, you know, just put it right in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, she's not... It's close enough. You can get by with it.
Yeah.
But you played the drums, sweetie.
she was banging, but not on the drum.
Oh, actually, God. you play the triangle, so not even like drums.
But let's move into some celebrity talk just a little bit. Let's get our feet wet here. Now, if you're watching video on the YouTube channel, you can see that my glasses this week are football themed because today is Super Bowl Sunday, which means that Travis Kelce and his girlfriend are going to be on television today. What's her name? Taylor
Swiffer.
Hargitay.
Swiffer. I think that trucking company is named after her, but I mean, I don't know. Taylor She'll Lautner. Be there too, I think. Taylor Lautner. That's it. From
for sure.
Twilight, for sure.
Right.
But everyone fangirls over her so much and Travis Kelce, but I'm fangirling over Jason Kelce because I think he's
That's
because
you're a gay slut.
Yeah, dude.
Every slut is gay for him.
Yeah.
Or every gay is a slut for him. It's a little bit of both.
You know what? I was like, they both work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go, ew, it was gross to see. No. It was not decent.
Gross to see.
It was pretty decent to see.
It was pretty nice, but still, I don't know. Still have weird feelings about that.
They think that your life flashes before your eyes right before you die, but for him, I'm going to flash right before his eyes right now. And until he dies.
I was like, before. Yeah, okay. I was like, you're going somewhere with this. With
yeah, like, I was thing. Like.
Yeah, right to hell where we belong. Woo!
So it makes me think
Thanks, Christians.
It's Always Sunny, like, meme where he's got, like, the fucking beautiful mind wall.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like all the steps Piecing you're taking together. To get there. Yep.
Well, and I've seen heaven depicted on South Park, and it looks boring.
It's boobs. A lot of boobs.
Yeah, and Mormons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mormons. It was Mormons.
It's Mormons. Oh, it was God. Mormons.
Dum dum da dum 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 dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum. Lucy Harris, smart, smart, smart. Martin Harris, dum da dum.
Yeah, for the day we were recording this, Toby Keith actually passed away yesterday. And while I don't really care to speculate much on him because he's, I don't know, in my opinion, like, I don't know. The guy kind of wanted to be famous, and he just kept doing things to be famous. But he never went out of his way to be more offensive, but he didn't go out of his way to, like, have morality.
Not be offensive.
Didn't he have that line of restaurants at the Hard Rock Casinos?
Toby Keith, I love this bar and grill.
Yeah, I think that... Wasn't that Toby Keith?
Yeah.
There's one here downtown Oklahoma City, and tonight...
There's one in this Hard Rock.
We have one here in Tulsa, too.
There's, like, a line out the door of people honoring him.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, wait, you would go out tonight to get cheap frozen chicken fried steaks in honor of a guy that had stomach cancer for 2 years?
That too.
Jay, people do it at Applebee's every day for no reason.
That's true.
You know
what?
People that I forget that I'm a different person than most of America.
We'll drive by terrible chain restaurants and they're just packed, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. He's from what, like Clinton, Oklahoma?
More,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, the tornado town.
Yeah.
That keeps getting hit by F5s.
That's a mediocre Oklahoman who's passed away. Yeah. He's in purgatory.
I'm getting hit with more tornadoes than usual.
But the news really hyped it up. And especially our local Channel 9 around here, because I think they'd kind of made a several thousand dollar contract for him to sing kind of their News 9 jingle back in the day. So they brought him back recently and showed him the original contract that they found and all that stuff. And like everyone's mourning. They read on the news this morning some comments from people. And my favorite Oklahoma redneck one was, his songs always made me want to either crack a beer or cry. And I'm like, Oklahoma.
That makes me want to do both.
So, yeah. I mean, this did suck, though. He did suffer the past couple years, so I feel bad that that happened, because it was a pretty rough cancer.
So I always have to, like, I guess I should always differentiate these things, because the other day, whenever you text that King Charles has cancer, and I was like, ooh, what kind? Is it the, you know, kill him kind? I need to clarify, because cancer... It should never be denoted as like a punishment for being a bad person, because good people get cancer way more often than bad people do.
Jay also got it once.
And he's just okay. sort of like a Toby Keith situation here.
Couldn't even put on his name tag.
Yeah. And, I forgot my name tag today. Oh, I was so distracted. Where the fuck is my name tag?
We're so dressed down that you didn't even bother to wear the fucking name tag. That's the one piece of the uniform you're supposed to wear.
Speaking of beardos, we've heard some feedback that you guys are enjoying our casual looks and that it makes us look a little bit more unique so you can differentiate between the three of us. So let us know. Is that something you keep enjoying? Because we kind of like wearing our different shirts. So let us know.
And also back to what I was saying while Jay's still looking for that. Beardos, if I say that I'm excited that King Charles has cancer, it's not because I think bad people deserve cancer. I just think that King Charles is a bad person and deserves something bad happening to him, just generally. Like, if
it's
kind of
like when Maggie Thatcher died.
Yeah, sort of like that. So, anyways, just so you guys know, I'm not out here saying that bad people get cancer, because that's just not the case. Like, it happens to anybody. But actually, when bad things happen to bad people, that's a fun time to celebrate.
To kind of add on to that, this is a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but I'm trying to remember what one of the cancer people was saying. But they were talking about how people will come in and you'll have like your really depressed ones and you'll have your really chipper ones. And they're like, more than often than not, you'll be talking to someone that's very nice when they come in. They're like, what do you do? And they're like, oh, you know, I donate a lot to the church. I do all this. I'm a helper and all that stuff. And those are the ones with usually the most aggressive, hardest cancers to survive. And they're like, it's the people that give the nicest that always suffer the most. And I'm like, okay, so thankfully I've been an asshole for 30 years because I guess I'm okay.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine if you'd been nice to me that first time we met?
Yeah, well, thank God I wasn't, because
you'd be dead. You'd be freaking dead.
I feel guilty for laughing.
This joke is all at your expense, Jay. Nobody else's.
I'm absorbing all of this pain and I'm taking it to my therapist.
This isn't anybody else's baggage. This is between Jay and I.
This is purely my baggage.
Now you all know how I feel in our group chat.
It is often me and Anthony just completely trashing each other.
And not all the time. We have discussions.
I'll take a break at work, and I will sit down, and my phone will say 73 messages, and I'll be like, okay, here we go.
It's not 73. It's probably like 20-something if I had to be really guessing.
My favorite is when I have message notifications, not just from our group chat, but from like a couple other people at the same time. So it'll say like, for example, it'll say like 30 new messages, and then I click on the group chat with me, Jay, and Anthony first, and then the number at the top goes from 30 to 2. That's like my favorite activity, is to see how many the number goes down by clicking on our group chat first.
We have time to talk to each other throughout the day.
Yeah, sorry, we work office jobs.
Yeah, it's a healthy relationship.
Jesus. We love each other.
Yeah, that's why we say so many mean things to one another.
Yeah, actually, if I'm extremely sweet to you all the time and don't trash talk at all, then do I like you?
So, Beardos, whenever you're interacting with Jay on social media, he's being real sweet.
To be fair, if you are new and I'm just talking to you a little bit, or we don't talk that often, I'm going to be nice because I'm still trying to get your vibe. But, you know, people like Jason, like, I said something really snarky to him the other day, and I'm like, that's because I like you. You're fun.
That's true. Yeah. That's why we're mean to John Riley from time to time.
Oh, that's, yeah, right. Which I need. John, I need you to message me because I made something for you. Should Did I introduce you? It right now? Or
yeah. Okay, oh, I yeah, like, I forgot.
I made him an intro.
Yeah, John's got his own intro now.
Because I was like, he did all this, and I need to at least make one for him, and I think he's going to appreciate it, because it represents our love for him, and here it is.
John from New York City.
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 City. City.
Oh, I love it. So, John, you got to call in. because, you know, we need an excuse to use that. I guess we don't need an excuse.
I was like, you can send us an email too. You don't have to call, but you can also call.
We should just AI scam his voice.
Oh, brilliant. That's right. Yeah. We'll just fake it.
Right.
We're going to start faking all of our content from now on if we don't hear from you guys.
None of this is real. This
we're
is all
not even real.
Yeah, we're not real people. This is all deep fake.
That's right, Beardos. This week's deep fake threat brought to you by Bingo by Carnival Cruise Lines. If you're looking for a fun time and want to get diagonal for a free space, look no further than Bingo on Carnival Cruise Lines. That's right, Carnival Cruise Lines.
That's been a random Joe thought.
Take it home with you.
Anyways, so back to celebrities and where we think they've ended up since they've passed away. I'm going to start with a celebrity who is not like an actor. Well, I guess they were an actor. Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan is in super hell.
Yeah, ooh. I was going to say regular hell is way too nice for him. He is in the worst, absolute, below Dante's whatever, below Dante's footwells. He is just in the worst place ever.
I keep wanting to say Dante's peak.
Don't you threaten me with a good movie watch, Jay.
Don't you threaten me with poor graphics now in modern times.
Oh my god, Joe loves that movie so much, though.
I do too, but it's so funny to watch, like, all the models.
A lot of it was shot on site.
Especially when, like, the mudslide waters... right? But you'll see the scene of, like, the mudslide water creek coming down, and I'm like, well, that's clearly a model.
Where'd the grandma end up? She in hell?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah?
The grandma ended up in hell.
So, like, I know that she died saving her family, but they wouldn't have been there in the first place if it weren't for her.
If it weren't for her bitter, bitchy attitude.
If she would have just used some moisturizer on those acid wounds, she wouldn't have ended up so ashy. She also had the best car suited for it, too. I'm not ready for this at all. She had an AMC Eagle wagon, and those have all-wheel, four-wheel drive. She could have taken them all down the mountain. But instead, Rachel's kids went up the mountain in her SUV trying to find Grandma and Ruffy, who ran away and made them all distracted. And then both the cars got consumed by lava, and then they had to get in the acid lake.
So does that mean that the kids are also in hell because they also caused the scenario? They could have just stayed at home.
Die. They had a lot more time to, like, make up for it.
They thought they had time to go up the mountain and get Grandma. They thought she was just, like, unable to get down there. But they forgot that Grandma had an AMC Eagle wagon and was able to get all the way down the mountain with her four-wheel drive.
I kind of want to circle to, how are you so prepared for this? Because, Beardos, that's not scripted. I didn't even write down any of that. I just brought it up.
I will have it known here and now that I am always 100% ready to talk about Dante's Peak.
Well. So he keeps the Hot Wheel cars.
He's got the Hot Wheel cars just in case.
I won't tell you where I keep them.
That's been a random Joe thought.
I'm ready at any point in time to order some Urban Accents Kansas City Classic Rub. That's right, Beardos. This week's episode brought to you by Urban Accents Kansas City Classic Rub Barbecue Seasoning.
And on this week's episode, also, it's sponsored by Pussy Cat.
She's so
this
over
here
it.
Is a genuine. This here is a genuine, what do they call her? A diluted tortoise. And she does not like being held that much.
She looks like a diluted tortoise right now. Look at those airplane airs. She's about to fuck you up.
Yeah, she's devising all the ways she could kill you currently.
What's funny is she, like, hates that. And then I let her down, and she immediately... Excuse me.
You have too much, like, pussy hair on your lips.
Oh, you need a sticky buddy. Sweet, sweet. Sorry, I got some pussy hair on me. 007. Speaking of Pierce Brosnan, like, from Dante's Peak. 007.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, what's happening?
She's now already rubbing around my legs, wanting attention again, so she's just kind of a slut. Anyways.
So, Grandma's in hell. Reagan's in super hell.
He's with Grandma.
I bet Nancy Reagan went to Super Hell, but then she throat-goated, I always get those backwards, I don't know why, her way back to regular hell by sucking Satan silly.
I thought Satan was gay, but I guess he could be
bi. He's probably queer. I bet he's just queer.
I bet
he's probably bet pretty Satan, fluid, honestly.
I bet Satan turned her down because, you know, he's already with Hitler.
Chris? Hitler? Wait, Saddam Hussein?
Was it Saddam Hussein? It was Saddam Hussein.
It was Saddam Hussein.
I can't keep track of who South Park makes fun of. There's a lot going on in that show, and it's been a while since I've watched those episodes.
And it wasn't Satan's fault, because Saddam only wanted to make love to him from behind. Because he thought it was Liza Minnelli.
So Saddam Hussein, the real one, though, definitely in hell.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But also in South Park hell.
I only wrote down one name for this entire thing that I want to ask you guys your opinion.
God, who'd you write?
Yeah.
Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps is in hell. 100%.
I actually thought he might be in heaven for the fact that it would be his hell, because literally he'd be up there watching everyone be loved and accepted and happy, and he'd be up there just burning because he's like, yeah!
But you can make somebody watch that from hell. Like,
that's just, okay, like, so he could,
CCTV.
He could be in, yeah, he could be in hell and he's watching, like, heaven TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Or he's watching, like, reruns of, no. It's just like the Kardashians, but it's heaven, and it's on the Longtime channel.
they just, it's tuned in to 24/7 Freddie Mercury in heaven. Like, just 100% of the time, he has to watch Freddie Mercury have a good afterlife.
You want to break free,
but you can't.
You want to break free,
but you can't.
Break free from the life that... I wish I remembered the words. I can't ever get
life
that done.
Life that you search for, and then somehow it's for real.
And he's still dressed in his, like, little drag outfit while he's vacuuming. Like, that didn't change. They just changed the words specifically for him.
Right. Correct.
As I stumble through that word, specifically. Sorry, I stumble a lot in my speech. I wonder if that's a speech impediment, or if my brain just goes stupid.
I think we have all of these theories right. Like that guy from The Good Place. What was his name?
Oh, Doug something. He's like the only one who got it all right.
Yeah, they analyze him because of it.
Wasn't he in like a later episode where they like brought him in and he was super fucking miserable because he knew the secret of like getting into The Good Place, but it was so overly calculated that like... He basically had become a hermit so that he wouldn't interact with other people, so he couldn't commit bad things, because the whole show is just this metaphor for like all of the micro like sins you commit just by existing under capitalism.
Micro sins.
Dead ends,
Dan.
Microplastics.
This episode brought to you by Micro Sins. That's right, Micro Sins. You don't have time for a regular sin, get yourself a micro sin.
Jesus approves because of capitalism, according to conservatives.
You can have a little envy as a treat. But, so we've established that Freddie Mercury is in heaven. Who else do you think is there? Yeah, for sure.
Betty White.
Oh, God.
Oh, 100%. She probably runs it up there.
She's definitely on the board. She's on the board of directors.
Hey, where do you think Bea Arthur is? She's kind of a bitch, but she was funny.
She did a lot for the LGBT community.
I was going to say, she did so much charity work. She's got to be in heaven.
Absolutely. She opened a whole homeless shelter for them too, right?
Yeah. I think she ran like a nonprofit homeless shelter, but I don't know. I could be entirely wrong. I'm speaking of that from memory.
I knew she was a huge supporter of animals, too, which so was Betty White.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I think that automatically puts you up there. So, good job.
I think so. Unless our theory about, like, heaven and hell is entirely wrong and evangelical Christians are right. In which case, everyone's in hell. Except...
Yeah, I hope there's showers, because I'm going to sweat a lot.
Ugh. You'll be showering in my sweat, because I'll be sweating more. That'll be the only shower in hell. It's just me.
You just literally, like, lift your arm, and it's just...
It'll be coming off my head.
Oh, God, ugh. This is gross.
It'd be like when Oren Ishii cuts off that guy's head, but instead of blood, it's just Anthony's sweat.
Yep. That's exactly it.
That. Exactly that.
Are you talking about Boss Tanaka?
Yes. Tanaka-san.
Where do you think Tanaka-san went? I think he's in... what's Japanese Ooh. Hell?
You know what Japanese hell is? An American Walmart.
Oh, good. I can see that. Yeah.
Anywhere aggressively American, like Six Flags... McDonald's, an airport.
I can see that for
Walmart.
Tanaka-san. I wonder if people who are from Japan get really disappointed when they come to America because Japan has capitalism, but they've got a capitalism that is like semi-functional because they get varieties of things. Like, what happens when someone from Japan comes to America and they get excited to figure out what kind of flavors of Kit Kats we have? And it's like two.
Ugh, I know.
I hate that this is where my brain goes, but as you guys are talking about this, all I can think of is that scene from Scary Movie 4 when Cindy walks in the house and she's talking to the little boy from The Grudge.
Oh my god.
And she's
that scene. And
Mitsubishi, Toshiba, Subaru.
But the subtitles are all English.
Yeah, the subtitles, they're speaking fluent
Kawasaki
sentences.
Yamaha.
And they're just talking to each other in Japanese brands.
Samsung, hell.
Daewoo.
It's very on brand for a Scary Movie, the franchise, especially 4 after it really went downhill. But yeah, that's a good point, Anthony. Let's talk about that. The writers of movies like, I don't know, Shallow Hal, The Waterboy, basically anything that Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler were in the 2000s.
Rob Schneider is a stapler.
Like, think about those movies, though. Like, Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, fantastically funny movie. A lot of people were in it. It would never get made these days.
Watching Shallow Hal literally gives me... I haven't seen it forever, but just thinking about, like, the only time I have watched it stresses me out.
Gwyneth Paltrow in that fat suit just gave me a huge anxiety attack.
It's so funny that way back in the day, seeing that, I was like, what a good message to see the inside. And now, like, later on, I'm just like, ooh.
That you have to see past the outside to get to the inside? Like, whoa, y'all. Actually,
I had my boyfriend a few weeks ago watch the movie, what's it called? Mr. Holland's Opus.
Oh
yeah.
And it's got Richard Dreyfuss in it and Olivia mm-hmm. Dukakis and things like that. I mean, it's a good cast. It's a long fucking movie.
It's long.
So we were watching it because I remember liking it a lot. Like, the message is, he doesn't get what he wants. And then as he's retiring, he finally gets to finish his symphony.
Well, did you forget in the middle of the movie when he almost ran off with his student?
That's it. Like, we're watching this movie, and I'm like, this guy's just an asshole to everyone around Whoa. Him because he's not yeah. getting his way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's, like, about to run away from his wife and his deaf son because this pretty high school 18-year-old's like, I'm going to go to New York. And he's like, I'll think about it. And yeah. he was just a bitch and didn't learn his son's, like, sign language because it was just too much work for him.
What?
And so, like, I'm looking at Frank. Yeah,
he had
terrible.
A huge, huge, like, disconnect from his son because his son was born deaf. And as a musician, he was like, I don't like this. And so, like, there was a huge, like, rift between them the whole time he was growing up.
The whole time.
It has a feel-good moment at the end, and it wraps it up pretty well. But the whole time watching it, you're just like, Nance Dad's a fucking douche.
Yeah, he's just like, he's an asshole. And I was like... I definitely see this movie in a different light than I used to, because this guy literally just made everyone around him insufferable because he was being insufferable.
Interestingly enough, I always equate Mr. Holland's Opus with, I always tell people it's like watching a band director mature through his career, like watching Forrest Gump grow up in terms of length of the fucking movie, because it takes 6 years to watch it. And because you see him go from young age, go through his career, all these tumultuous ups and downs, his retirement. And then you're kind of watching his whole career, and it's not always sunshine and rainbows. There are those dark moments in it, just like Forrest Gump.
But the different part about that is, what's only different part, there's everything else is exactly the same, is he doesn't end up with Ginny. Because she had to settle last minute.
Very last minute. I mean, last minute.
She was like, oh, shit, where's he at? I know he'll say yes.
Jesus. Yeah, I feel like there's so many movies like
Jenny's
that.
Jenny's in hell.
Jenny is absolutely in hell.
100% Jenny is in hell.
Oh, although, remember how horrible Jenny's childhood was, too. Of course she went down the pathway of drugs and acceptance.
So I do have to, I mean, yeah, I'll give people that. But at the same time, at some point when you become an adult, you got to figure out how to be responsible for your own actions.
Terrible friends won't get you there.
And you have to be able to understand that, yes, generational trauma is real and it's left on you, but you have to be the one that stops it. You have to recognize it's a problem and you have to actively try and prevent it from going on.
As therapists will always tell you, your feelings are real, they are valid, but at the end of the day, they are only yours and no one else's. And it's nobody else's responsibility to do anything with them.
That's right. Which, speaking of generational trauma and therapy, should we take our little break and move on to our next segment?
I was going to say, we should probably take a break and then go on to our next segment. Yeah.
So we're going to go on a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk about all the reasons Anthony annoys us.
You're listening to Jay, Anthony, and Joe on the Beards and Sundries podcast, the podcast rated 5 out of 6 balls.
Rated 5 out of 6 balls.
Leave that in, please.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, you heard it just day before yesterday.
Oh, man. So, Joe, what's our pet peeve about Anthony?
Actually, that's a great question. What is your pet peeve about me?
Were we going to talk about people that piss us off that aren't celebrities and not my husband?
Oh.
And I'm a celebrity, as you know.
He's an international podcast host.
He's an international
nasty girl.
Fine, I'll say my pet peeve. Anthony, it's just you. That's my pet peeve.
So,
you get really lazy after the first break, because I feel like every time we like come back from it, you're just going completely whatever lowest effort is.
Yeah, because we're getting close to commercial, and I'll have to think that hard.
So now we're going to talk about a few pet peeves that, you know, people that we encounter more commonly in daily life do. We talked a little bit about this before recording, and we said we weren't going to talk about drivers, but oh my god, you guys, I was driving home today, and I pulled out of the car wash, and it pulls onto a very busy street. So there is a sign at the pullout that says no left turn. It's got the left turn arrow with a line through it.
And it's nigh impossible to turn left out of that.
Yeah. And I'm pulling up to the exit, and there is a GMC Canyon in front of me with their left blinker on. And I pull up behind them, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you blind? Are you blind? And they just sit there as traffic's going both ways. After about, I'm not even exaggerating, it had to be at least 90 seconds, the blinker turns off and it's just solid brake lights, and I can see they're looking at each other in the car. I'm like, okay, cool. We're discussing. We're realizing. We're reflecting. We're growing. We're maturing. Then the right blinker turns on, and I'm like, holy shit. Hallelujah. We have grown. We have evolved as a species just a little bit. Then a break in the traffic comes, and someone who was waiting to turn left into the car wash has turned. Then the right blinker turns off and the left blinker turns back on, and I'm like, God damn it! Here we go! Back into the primordial soup. The fish has lost its legs. Then a break in traffic happens once again, and she floors it and goes into the traffic. Her turns left, almost gets broadsided by a Ford Expedition. It honks at her. She honks back as if the Expedition was in the wrong for somehow almost hitting her. And then I just looked at her go off into the sunset. And then I made my right turn and drove home like a law-abiding citizen. And that was a pet peeve for me today.
I've turned left out of there before, but only if I get there and it's immediately open. If it's not, then I'll just turn right. But, like, if I get up to it and I see, it, like, a right-then opportunity, I'm going to fucking turn left.
It's funny how much I try never to turn left. I really take a lot of right turns to ignore lefts.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's an easy, easy left.
There's a Brahms that's, like, kind of, like, on the opposite corner of the block from where we're at. And it's technically closer to turn left out of our neighborhood and then to turn left and go north. But I turn right. And then right again, and then right again, and then right again, and then right into the Brahms, because it's easier. Yeah,
Beardos, we're in that part of Oklahoma where all the road systems are in square-mile grids, and we can literally just go around in a square to get to Brahms, get our burgers, and then get back on the square and go right back to our neighborhood.
My number 6 jalapeno pepper check burger with large fries and a large Diet Dr. Pepper with Brahms sauce.
You can upgrade your drink to a shake. Huh?
For free.
Crinkle fries.
Yeah. Speaking of pet peeves, people who take forever to order in fast food lines.
People who order for 18 people.
Like, go inside.
Yeah. Or order online. You can do that now. That exists for almost every fast food restaurant.
And you can literally sit in the parking lot comfortably in park, order it on your phone, and then quickly just be like, I'm going to go pick up this order now.
Joe and I will order, and you can judge us all you want. I don't give a shit, Beardos. Like $50 worth of Taco Bell. Because we've customized it to all high heavens. Because you can through the website, and then you go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, and they get it all together for you right as soon as you say who you are in the drive-thru.
And they start making it until you are there, so it's fresh.
Yeah.
When you say that, I just imagine the kitchen being like, oh, they're back, the order's in, and then all of a sudden the kitchen's like, very chaotic because they're customizing your order.
Like the kitchen on The Bear, the TV show?
Yes.
I got 57 quesadillas all day. I need 45 Baja Blasts. They're just dropping it in the fryer.
They've never ordered cinnamon twists before, and they have 5 orders this time. Get them, no!
So we made Joel and Dylan watch that that stupid little short video clip where it's like, 55 burgers, 55 fries, and blah, blah, blah. When they were here last week.
Look what you did, you rich fuck.
Yeah. And I finally watched it through the context of how much shit is he really ordering? And I was like, oh my God, it is so cheap. I want this restaurant to be real.
You know what's funny is you made fun of me for bringing that up last time.
I only watched it through that lens because you brought it up to me.
You're welcome.
But the more we talk about ADHD behaviors, the more I'm like, should I get myself tested? Because
there's a lot of us out there, probably.
Yeah, because I still like sometimes go, now how much was that again? And then so I'll see the clip and be like, 55, 55, 55, mm-hmm. was 100. And I lose track. Like last time I tracked it, I had to pause it actively.
Yeah, it's the weird obsessive behavior where I'll get like 70% through a project and then stop. Because
it's like once you figured it out and once it's getting easier and you just have to tie up loose ends, it's like, I don't want to do this part anymore.
I have like 4 or 5 different reports I've been working on for work that are all like fresh from the ground up. Like nobody else has this type of reporting. So I'm taking data that we do have and turning it into data that we don't have. And they're all like 80% done. Like, I'm getting to the end of it. I'm like, ah. But now I want to start on a different project.
I'm kind of that way. And you'll catch it a lot in my home renovation stuff. Like, I'm almost done. I'm like, ah, all I have to do is just paint this last part. And that sounds exhausting. Mm. But I've been forcing myself to finish lately, so it's all looking better.
So, Jay, that was one more thing about drivers that we said we weren't going to talk about, pet peeves. Do you have a pet peeve about drivers you want to air real quick?
Hey, mine was not about drivers. Mine was about fast food.
Drivers at fast food.
It's people who take forever to order it. Like, I say drive-thrus, but at fast food, just generally, like, if you don't know what you're going to get at fucking Long John Silver's, what the fuck are you doing there?
Let people in front of you. Just, like, there's people like me walking in going, I'll take a number 6. That's it. Here's my card. Let's go.
Yeah. When I go to Brahms, I know what I'm getting at Brahms every fucking time. When I go to Sonic, I'm either in the mood for breakfast or lunch, and I know which one of those things is going to turn into what. Like, I know what I'm going to fucking get. And the places where I don't, like Taco Bell, I'm going to customize that shit through the app, and we're going to go through the drive-thru and pick it up there.
So my pet peeve actually kind of revolved around someone I know that, I guess we're not really close friends anymore or anything like that, because they got in a relationship and just stopped talking because I think there's a jealousy issue from the other one. And so I'm like, oh, okay. Pet peeve, whatever. But it's okay, because this was a person that was very kind and would drop anything to help you. But after they did that, it was this non-spoken rule that you had to give kind of a grand assistance of some sort back of anything. Like, or you had to be very big on your thank you of recognition or all, because they just wanted to be fulfilled so much.
Then is it that gracious of a gesture?
It's not if you expect that. I mean,
yeah.
I, as being a people pleaser, I don't do this like I used to, but I used to like kind of nudge questions to be like, oh, did you like that gift or something like that? Because I wanted to know so bad if they actually liked it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like, I need you to give me something in return. It was always just like, oh, I just need to know, did I do well on this? Now I don't care. I'm like, fuck it if you don't like it. But for some reason, that pissed me off so much. Because then I would be like, no, I don't want your help.
Yeah.
Ever.
I get
I'm
it.
Like, no, I'm not gonna be burdened by needing to give you your fulfillment.
Yeah, I get that. Because I used to be that same way where I'd be like, well, I gave you this. Like, tell me that you like it. Tell me that you enjoy it. Tell me you appreciate me. And I remember within like the last few years, we have a friend who shares Joe's birthday, and we got them. They brewed their own kombucha. And so we got them these bottles that I had done some research for that I was like, okay, these are good for brewing kombucha. There's a lot of really good reviews. And I got them for their birthday. And I said, hey, if you don't like these, or if these are not what you are trying to use, tell me, because I will, like, we'll send them back. We'll get you something that you want. I don't care. You're not going to offend me. And they didn't say anything for 3 months because they were like, yeah, no, this is great. And then like 3 months later, we saw them again. And I was like, they hadn't used any of the bottles. And I was like, hey, did you not? Why are these not the kind of bottles that you need? Because it's okay to say that. I would rather you tell me that this isn't what you wanted. So that's a pet peeve of mine.
And he was like, why'd you make me be the cheese?
And that's still something I do. Like, I'm buying you something that I often genuinely want you to use.
Right.
And so, like, I feel bad because there's times I'm like, hey, has that been any benefit or something like that? And even then, I'm like, you gotta stop doing that, because it kind of makes it, it's almost like you're probing them for that need inside. And I'm trying to make myself quit, but I do it to my boyfriend quite a bit unintentionally.
I guess
really, I want to confirm. Is it useful or not? Because then I have to gauge my decision-making off that in the future.
Yeah, I guess now that you say it that way, I didn't see it that way. I saw it more. It was like, you know, if you don't like this, it's okay to say that.
That's
I really would prefer that you say that to me.
My intention is to be like, if you don't like that, I can 100% send it back. I can replace it with something different. But for some reason, my brain does not fathom the idea that they're just like, oh my God, he just keeps wanting to know if I like this thing that he bought me. Oh my God. I completely forgot that I started one of, what was that author's name last week that we talked about?
Chuck Tingle.
And before we go to commercial, I just want to put a scene in your head of how it went for me. I decided I'm like, I'm going to listen to this, because I was talking to one of my friends that listens to us. And I was like, I'm going to listen to it. Shortly after I started listening to it, I had to go to the bathroom. And so, Joe, do you think you could do a sound effect for me really quick?
Yeah. What's my motivation?
I need you to make the sound effect of someone peeing in a urinal. It's a quiet bathroom, and someone is peeing in the urinal. And in my ear, I hear, and then I looked at the pirate captain, and he put his penis in my booty. And I'm just listening to, like, it sounds like this chill accountant reading this story, and I'm like, laughing at the urinal in the bathroom. So thankful that I was by myself in there, because it was just this relaxed discussion of a sex story. And then I was listening to it in the car on the way, and I had to stop it because I had this weird thought that I'm going to get in an accident, be unconscious. Somebody pulls me out of the car and my radio's still running, and it's just reading this wild gay sex story of pirates on a ship.
So this is motivating. I've got to get a Chuck Tingle audiobook. Yeah.
So speaking of Chuck Tingle at the urinal, do you guys think it's time for a commercial?
Absolutely. And I think this commercial will align perfectly with Chuck Tingle and his story.
Oh, no.
And now for a word from our sponsor, the Pastor Gabe Usse Foundation of Righteousness.
Ooh, will you say that again? It's the Gabe Usse.
Gabe Usse.
Gabe Usse.
Okay.
Usse. It's Gabe Usse.
Yeah, that part I got. I'm trying just to not to make it too obvious. And now, for a word from our sponsor, the Pastor Gabe Usse Foundation of Righteousness.
The world is pulling at your heels. Can't you feel it? Liberals are trying to take away your God-owned rights. There's no chance left on this earth. And we are fresh out of fruit punch-flavored Kool-Aid. So, drop whatever's in your hands, whether it be your vibrator or that baby, and grab your Visa cards now. Also discover MasterCard and Amex, and donate to me, the Pastor Gabe Usse. I'm your savior, your righteous way out of this hellhole they call Earth. With your hard-earned money, you'll be donating directly to the Pastor Gabe Usse Foundation of Righteousness, where you'll be guaranteed a spot right next to me, where you'll be safe and sound in our rocket ship that I've equipped with everything we need to live on Uranus. Yes, I've been stockpiling and sending long shafts of supplies to build us a compound safe for people like us. Do you want to see Uranus? Because I want to see Uranus. I want to touch you. Touch you with the righteous word I've inherited from God Himself. I'm going to ram you hard with scripture. You'll be edging your seat, waiting for more gospel, and I'll blow God's gracious light all over you. So stroke my ego and donate to the Pastor Gabe Usse Foundation of Righteousness today for your guaranteed spot in Uranus, where I'll probe you with everything I know. So men, leave your wives and kids at home and come ride my shaft rocket to Uranus and leave the hell on Earth that we've been living today.
Hey guys, make sure you follow and subscribe to our podcast so you can receive a notification every Sunday when a new episode drops.
Brass tacks here. I took one of my painkillers, like, maybe 30 minutes into this, and I might be a smidge high right now, but that guy was really obsessed with getting his shaft into Uranus.
He's really got it figured out.
You know what's really interesting is I just spontaneously... Pastor Gabe spontaneously wrote that shortly before recording tonight. And,
it sounds like a Ted
It's really easy
slash...
to be...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying it's, like, really easy to be a, God, if a pastor, because you can just shout random things and make it sound exciting.
You're onto something there, Jay.
Like, why am I not running a church and profiting and being evil? Like,
because you're not a greedy megalomaniac.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to Jay, I think.
I know. You're welcome. Really nice.
Wow. You're not my
glitter,
pet peeve anymore.
You like right now. Clapping hands. Like,
it's even nicer than Uranus. But anyway, Jay, do we have any Beardo submitted sundries this week?
We do have some Beardo submitted sundries this week. Sorry, I forgot the word that I was going to say. And our first one is from
George and Anthony.
And George.
And George.
And they say, "Hey guys, I know I didn't make it in time for this week's recording, which was last week's episode, but it's been a crazy week. I had to have the windshield on my car replaced because a rock flew up and cracked it. Then a few days later, the spring on our garage door snapped, so that had to get replaced.
Ooh.
We were sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden we heard what sounded like something running into our garage door. We looked outside, saw nothing, looked in the garage to see if something fell, then noticed that the spring was snapped in half.
Yeah.
Then finally, I'm getting ready to have my first ever surgery. I'm having a hernia repaired. I hope you're okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm excited to finally have it done, but very nervous. But of course, all this stuff wasn't free, and I've come to the firm conclusion that being an adult sucks. It's just working, paying bills, and joint pain. God, ain't that the truth.
Amen.
Anyway, of course, this week's episode was great. We can't wait for our cruise in October, and we might try to go for Dallas during TBRU. I don't know if we'll attend any events, but we'll see. Oh, yeah.
Dicks.
Needs to be a space on the bingo card. Well, I'll end it here. Hope you all have a good week, and I'll talk to y'all later. Big hugs, George and Anthony.
Aw, thanks, boys. And if you make it to Dallas during TBRU, we'll be there.
Sorry about your bad week. That sucks.
Yeah.
That spring door garage breaking is the most terrifying noise.
Well, I don't think I was here for when ours broke, but when I realized that it was broken, I was just like, nope, that's...
Mm-hmm. That's one home repair you do not want to fuck with.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's one I'll always call for. Jeez, Joe. Which, of course... My garage door spring, when it broke, it was like a different type than your normal spring. And they come in, they're like, oh, yeah, we had too many problems with those. And so nobody really installs those anymore, which I confirmed and called around. So then I had to pay extra for them to change it out to the proper spring that everyone changes.
Jesus.
Wait, are you saying that contractors will cut corners to save money and make more profit?
No, I would never say that.
Well, yeah, how else are they going to drive around with those empty vans full of no parts?
Yeah.
That's American craftsmanship, Beardos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really annoying because I was like, oh, it's this kind of door. And he goes, oh, yeah, nobody does those anymore. And I'm like, of course they don't.
Well, we feel your pain there, boys. We just recently replaced our own water heater. Thankfully, we were able to do it ourselves instead of having to pay someone to do it. But yeah, home repairs are not fun, and it's part of being an adult.
Adulting. Mm. So then we also heard from Ray on Instagram.
Hi, Ray.
He sent the message to me a day before I saw it because he's a new follower. And he sent a video of the old 90s commercial with Celine Dion that used to scream really loud and it would wake everyone up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I just responded back. I was like, ow, my ears. But come to find out, Ray found us roughly 4 months ago. And he started listening, realized that we reference a lot from previous episodes. So he started from the beginning, which I was like,
so
oof.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, Ray.
So he's been listening through for 4 months, and he's right now at the end of season 3. He said, loving the show, and he survived this far, and he's loved it so much. And so I just wanted to say, welcome to the Beardo Club. And he says he's going to keep up and start messaging us. So I'm going to hold you to it, Ray.
Wow. Good for you for getting through all of that.
I mean, Jay can threaten you, but Joe's the real threat here.
Yeah, have you seen him without a beard?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has. He's at the end of season 3.
If he's at the end of season 3.
Today, he like sent a picture of his Apple CarPlay, and he was on Two Beards and a Baby.
Oh.
So it's just ironic.
Don't you think?
Isn't it ironic? So I just laughed because I said, oh, you've passed the murder nor. Good, you've made it this far.
Yeah, and he's still with us? Wow, well, he's a real one.
He stuck around with us gams, his hams, lambs.
But he hasn't been listening to our recent episodes. So when he gets to this, it's going to be like, oh, wow. But he listens to us on his commute. So drive safe, use your blinkers, and don't impede the left lane.
Get out of the left lane,
Ray.
Get out of the left fucking lane.
Unless you're speeding, then it's okay. But you have to speed like with everyone else.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ray.
And that's all I have for user content this week.
Well, good. That was a great batch. And a new follower. Awesome. I can't believe he stayed with us this long. Thank you.
He pushed through that far. I'm proud.
Well, after that, does anyone have anything to check out?
I have something to check out this week. So I didn't actually think about this until we were talking earlier, but we were talking about going crazy in the kitchen and the bear. There is this game that we play every now and again, super rarely, but it's called Overcooked and Overcooked 2. This is a up to 4-player co-op game, preferably couch co-op, because you're going to want to yell at people. Mm-hmm. Where you and your friends have to not only like prepare, cook, and plate and serve these dishes, but you have to do it inside of these sort of platformer levels where you're like, sometimes the kitchen moves, sometimes there are obstacles, and sometimes you only have access to certain resources, so you have to take some of the stuff, give it to your friends so they can prepare it, then give it back to you so you can cook it, then you have to plate it, give it back to them so they can serve it. It takes a lot of coordination, and as you can imagine, it makes everyone very happy with each other the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And very loud.
So we played with our friends just not this last weekend, but weekend before last. And I realized in retrospect, everyone was yelling, yes, chef, at me. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was probably being a little bossy.
No.
But anyways, if you're looking for a fun couch co-op to play with your friends, up to 4 people total, I suggest playing Overcooked or Overcooked 2. Plus, as a bonus, there is a dog in both games, and his name is Kevin, and he's adorable. Yes.
Kevin is awesome.
Yeah.
I love when I get to pet a dog on any game.
And it's pretty funny because Kevin will like make these series of like dog noises, and then one of the other characters will be like, Kevin's right.
And then we have to save the world. Like, you got all that from Woof, but okay.
Yeah.
And then Catherine O'Hara pops in. She goes, Kevin!
On that note, do you guys think it's game time?
I think it's game time.
Perfect. This is a game I'm going to call Hell is Other Animated People. So here's what I've done. I have come up with a list of 20 people, whether they be characters or real people or fictionalized people, that have appeared in adult animated series, such as South Park or Family Guy or American Dad or Futurama. No, it's really just South Park, Futurama, and Family Guy. I couldn't really find much on American Dad. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to alternate between you two, and I'm going to give you the name of the animated series and the name of the person, and you have to tell me if that person has been to hell in that universe.
Oh, my
God. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, great example. If I said South Park, Hitler. Have you seen Hitler in hell in the South Park franchise?
Yes.
And you would be correct. Since these are yes and no, I'm going to alternate. I have 20 total of these. I'm going to start with Jay. And whoever gets the most right wins.
Okay.
Everything makes sense?
I think so.
May the best Beardo win.
Okay, perfect. Do you want another example before we kick it off, or you?
Yeah, I think I'm okay.
Okay, perfect. Jay, we're gonna do a couple of easy ones first. Jay, South Park, Saddam Hussein.
Oh God, I don't know. Yes,
you are correct. Okay,
fabulous.
Joe, South Park, Gandhi.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct. Gandhi has been and is still in hell in South Park. Okay. Jay. Family Guy. Superman.
No?
Ooh, incorrect. Superman was actually playing cards in hell with Hitler.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh. No. Superman, no. Yeah.
Nope, he was apparently in hell. All right. Joe, Family Guy, Goofy.
Yes.
That's what they get for supporting Israel.
God.
Yes, you are correct. Goofy was indeed in hell. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to start getting just mildly more difficult. Okay. Jay, Futurama, The Beastie Boys.
No.
Oh, sorry. Yes, the Beastie Boys were
all
in hell.
Fucking yeses?
No. There might be a lot of them, though.
As of now, yes.
So far, yes. But no, the Beastie Boys appeared in the first episode where we see Robot Hell, and they're dropping a sick beat.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't know that show well enough.
All right, Joe, Futurama, Calculon.
I think it's yes.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Calculon actually not only died and went to hell, but canonically got sent back out of hell in a cannon because the robot devil was tired of him.
Canonically.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Jay, South Park, Cartman.
Yes.
No, sorry.
God damn it!
I was going to say, I don't think Cartman ironically has been.
Cartman has not been to hell.
I don't think he has been.
He once got sent to, I think, a part of California that the devil said was worse than hell. All right. Joe, South Park, B. Arthur.
Um, I don't remember this from the episode. It seems like somewhere they would send B. Arthur. But, whatever. I'll just say no.
Ooh, sorry. B. Arthur was in hell in South Park. So, canonically, B. Arthur is in hell or has been to hell, and Cartman has not. J. Futurama. Fry.
Yes.
Yes, Fry has indeed been to hell. We're counting robot hell as hell in this universe because, yeah. All right. Number 10, Futurama, Leela. Joe?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. They were both there at the same time, actually, to rescue Bender after he joined the church. And apparently the only way you can go to hell in, or the only way you go to robot hell is if you joined like the Church of Robotology or something like that. Anyways. J, number 11. Family Guy, Lois Griffin.
No.
You are correct. She has not been to hell.
Yay.
She's already there.
Joe, Family Guy, Stewie Griffin.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct.
They Peter, the devil's here.
He got scared out of hell because he thought he was going to get like sexually assaulted by, what was his name?
Oh, I can't remember. Some celebrity that's
anyways,
on the front.
He was in that like hell hotel room. Yeah, anyways. Okay. Number 13, J, South Park, Mr. Garrison.
Yes?
No. Although Mr. Hat.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of that tree.
No, Mr. Yeah, Mr. Hat went to hell.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm thinking of Mr. Garrison whenever he was on his little thing out in the woods where he was trying to find himself.
Oh, yeah. And he had his whole Star Wars thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went into the tree, came out the other side of the tree. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep. Okay, number 14, Joe, South Park, JonBenet Ramsey.
No.
Ooh, sorry. JonBenet Ramsey is in hell in the South Park universe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the show or in the lore? I don't remember her being depicted.
Hang on.
I know Princess Diana is. I'm sorry if that was a spoiler.
Hang on.
Because I didn't think they would show a child. That's off color even for them.
She gives advice to Satan in the episode, probably.
Oh! Yes, that's right. I remember her being depicted as a little blonde girl, but I didn't think that was JonBenet Ramsey. Oh, okay. Hmm. I remember that scene now. I just didn't know it was JonBenet Ramsey. So yes, okay. All good.
Okay. All right. Number 15, J, Futurama, David Duchovny.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So the reason
absolutely no clue.
David Duchovny doesn't show up as himself in Futurama in hell, but as referenced by Calculon, Calculon made a deal with the devil and is all of history's great acting robots, which include David Duchovny.
Yeah. I've absolutely no clue.
Yeah. Joe, number 16, Futurama, Hedonism Bot.
Yes.
No. Hedonism Bot has not been to hell.
He wasn't there for the robot opera thing with the hands?
So he didn't go to hell. He actually commissioned the opera.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, Fry and Bender went to hell in that episode to get the hands from the devil, and then Hedonism Bot heard Fry playing and commissioned him to write an opera.
I thought that was in Robot Hell. Okay, I'm wrong.
Nope. All right. J, number 17, Family Guy, Muriel Goldman.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Muriel Goldman is in hell in the Family Guy universe.
was like, I think I remember that.
Yeah. Number 18, Joe, Family Guy, Loretta Brown.
I think it's yes.
You are correct. It is yes. She was killed when Peter was trying to do some sort of gag, and the whole thing that always happened with Cleveland where he fell off of the second story in the bathtub, the same thing happened to her, but she died because she didn't have a fat ass like Cleveland did. Okay, we're down to the last two. Number 19, Jay, South Park, Princess Diana.
Yes.
Indeed, yes. I was like, Joe gave you this one for free earlier.
I know, I was sitting there, I was going, didn't Joe say this, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah, Princess Diana.
I get very cautious on answering questions.
She appears in the musical episode Mr. Hanky's Christmas Classics, and she's seen depicting hell with Christmas decorations.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. And last but not least, number 20, South Park, Steve Irwin.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. I think it might be that same episode.
No, it was a different one. It was Satan's Sweet 16 party, I think. Oh, or it was a Halloween party, and he was mad because everyone was dressing up as Steve Irwin with the stingray hanging out of his chest. And then Steve Irwin shows up, and he gets kicked out because he's not wearing a costume. He's just himself.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm definitely super impressed because I do not know those shows that well. Like, I just don't have them memorized.
I can't remember if it was a Sweet 16 party or a Halloween party, but yeah, they kick out Steve Irwin because he's not technically wearing a costume.
So, the final scores, a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, actually. J6 and Joe 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
I lost a game already.
Congratulations, Joe. You know people in hell a little bit better than Jay.
Yay!
It's because I surround myself with such good people.
Anyways, with that, I think I hear the Muzak coming back on.
Yep, so. It's for sure back.
It's a funeral march. But go call our extra hot hotline because it's in hell this week at 405-999-2242.
And Beardos, it's not just hotter than hell in here. That's the oven preheated because it's ready for my Totino's party pizza to go in. So it's time for us to continue our lunch break, but it's also time for us to go. If you'd like to help us out, make sure to go and subscribe to our podcast so you can get reminders every Sunday when we release a new episode. We also post frequent updates on all of our social media sites for any additional sundries that we add to the market.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and leave a review. Those reviews are what get us found by more listeners like you. And also, if just each one of you could share the podcast with a friend, that would double our growth.
And after you're done hanging out at the Beards and Sundries Wacky Tacky Funeral Home, go check out beardsandsundries.com for our website, where eventually I'm going to have the bingo cards updated. I haven't had time since February came along, so they're almost done. And then also check out our socials, Insta, Facebook, Threads. Is that it? TikTok. Go check all of those out. And then if you can also email us at beardsandsundries@gmail.com.
So, from the three of us here in hell, make sure to
burn. I mean, love yourself.
Because I've already
because how the hell?
No, crotch. I mean, we already love you. Bye, Beardo.
Bye.